It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out Radio Show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on one frequency, 106.3 throughout the tri-state area. You can also listen to KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn Radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk 106.3. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When legendary drummer Keith Moon was MIA, who did the Who turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
When the great Pele asked for a sub, who did his World Cup team turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
Now this world-renowned musician slash athlete has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only, I mean, could you imagine a twin? Paul Lavoie.
Hey, Jess, not sure if you heard this in the intro or Chief Pete, but the part about settled behind the microphone.
Yeah. Does that apply to you?
Is that the key word, settled?
Yeah.
Welcome to Speak Out, everybody. It's Tuesday, December 14th, 2021. This should be a great show today. We have Lake Havasu City Manager Jess Knudsen in the house.
Good morning.
He likes the same kind of Christmas music I do.
Yeah.
That's what, and it's not Beastie Boys.
Yeah.
But anyway, Fire Chief Pete Palafis is here as well.
Good morning, Paul.
Hey, Chief Pete. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
There you are.
I missed Dan.
All right. Sometimes you have to, adjust that one from right back here. Like,
okay.
Yeah. There you go.
All right.
All right. Perfect. So, all right. Not sure if anyone caught the Cardinals game last night or wish they hadn't. But, yeah, a little disappointing, especially when you're counting on Kyler Murray. It's just the end of the game. What the heck?
Yeah, I mean,
spike the ball. Spike the ball. Spike the ball.
And they get the onside kick, and I thought, oh, we got something here. We got a chance at a
right.
touchdown. I mean, onside kicks are tough to get, and then sacked at the end of the game. So
It wasn't just that. The interception where the defender tipped it to himself, a little disappointing there.
Yeah.
Not exactly the vertical leap of Michael Jordan either from the defender. But
no.
Anyway, yeah. You know, I saw that and I thought maybe he had seen the Dan Marino play where they thought he was going to spike the ball.
Oh, the fake spike?
The fake spike, right.
Yeah.
But none of the receivers went out or anything.
Yeah.
So nobody really had a clue into Kyler Murray's mind. Anyway, the Suns lost last night also to the Clippers, which is a little disappointing, but they return to the court tonight. Phoenix Suns at Portland, that's at 8 p.m., the tip-off. And then tomorrow night, one of your favorite teams, Jess, I know because I'm saying sarcastically, the University of Arizona Wildcats.
Okay. Yeah. They beat up on the Bison a couple weeks ago.
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
Really bad, too.
Yeah.
They take on Northern Colorado tomorrow night at 7. And the reason I say mine, too, is because I went to UNLV back in the day when it was Lute Olson versus Jerry Tarkanian.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Great rivalry
no
back
kidding.
Then. So, and then Thursday, of course, the Chiefs at Chargers, and that's at 6 p.m. So, believe it or not, there's two games on Saturday, NFL. So, it's going to be a really interesting weekend. We'll get to that as the week rolls on, as we get closer to Christmas break for Speak Out and Speak Out 2.0. Anyway, all games are on KNTR Sports, 94.3, 100.5, 980 AM. KNTR Sports, welcome to the team. There you go. So, yeah, we'll have the last week leading up to, we'll have Leo on, we'll have the Real Estate Power Hour tomorrow. We'll have Leo Biasucci on Thursday.
Nice.
In place of Brian. Brian's on a sabbatical of his own.
Mm.
And then we'll have Terrence Concannon and Mike Bonney, GDK CPA, on Friday.
What a great week.
That's a 2-day or 2-week break
okay.
until January 3rd.
Yeah.
And then Carla Harkel-Rode will join us. So it all starts all over again, right?
Yeah, it's a great week. A lot of great people that are doing great things for the community. That's fantastic.
Do either of you have plans for Christmas out of town, in town?
I'll be in town, celebrating with my kiddos and some family. I'll be in town.
You just took all your PTO anyway, right?
Yeah.
I heard you were off.
I was off a couple of days last week.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Wednesday through Friday. So I went on a vacation and spent some time with some friends. Yeah.
This is that time a lot of people that are employed with the city or the county or the state take that use or lose, right?
Yeah.
Cheap Pete's like, yeah, I used to have that.
Yeah.
But you'll get it back.
I will. It just takes some time.
Right.
And
absolutely.
Doing the same thing as Jess. The kids got out of school Friday. So they got their 2-week break, and then we're going to just relax at home, enjoy the weather, and our second Christmas in Havasu. So look forward to that.
It's so awesome to have you here with Jess.
Yeah.
You know, no offense, Dan, if you're listening. We usually have that first responders hour. Yeah. He won't call in. He'll just pull me over. Or have somebody else do it, right?
Sure.
Hey, the guy driving around town with the poly plate? Yeah. That's him.
Easy to recognize.
Right, absolutely. But you're all over the agenda tonight.
Yeah.
Number one.
That's a good thing.
And the study that was highlighted in the paper was initiated by you, this action item.
Yeah, you know, when I've been here 18 months, during my first budget process, I've been reviewing the fire department for the last 18 months, and I initiated this study. This study needs to be done for the future of not only the city, but the services for the fire department. So what I did was I created an RFP with my team. We're looking at a comprehensive analysis of the entire fire department, that's station location, staffing, the use of overtime, the deployment of emergency equipment, the capital improvement funds for the fire department. And it's looking at the data and facts. And I'm looking for the consultant that I'm recommending to the board today is a well-known company. I've done some great studies, small, large departments. And I'm looking to bring them be part of our team to get this study done. And it should take us about, if we get hit the ground running right when they approve it, tomorrow morning, we'll be starting share data. And this is what I look forward to, is that unbiased look from the outside, looking at the department.
Right.
And this is going to be our long-term plan for the next 5 to 10 years. Since I've been here, I've seen the growth in the 18 months I'm here. And this is going to provide us that planning for the future. And it's going to be based on facts, data, and it's going to look at things that we've been doing good and some of the weaknesses that we might have within the organization. And I think as really chiefs that come in, I think we're always constant in reviewing our department. What can we do better? What services that we potentially need? We have to remember we can't really depend on anybody else there. We're self-sufficient. We're an all-hazard department that basically takes care of the entire city.
Right, right.
So, I mean, we do everything.
I think where I saw it was where I read between the lines anyway, I'm about return on investment.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm going to spend, $76,000, $78,000, something like that. What is the return on investment here, Chief?
Well, the return on investment is getting the information that we need to make right decisions. The thing is, even though up front this is the cost of it, but to have a 5 to 10 year plan that basically sets my staffing levels, looks at my vehicle replacement program that you've
already initiated.
Well, yeah. And,
right.
And the thing is, a lot of things that I've, based on my experience, my 26 years in the fire service, it's just having the team members to have expert, very similar to what schooling I have, but have a focus that's what they're going to focus on for the next 7 months. I'm still focusing on our operations and our staffing levels as I see fit,
right,
too. And the recruitment and retirements that I have coming in the city is making good choices with taxpayer money. And this is a great choice to set that 5 to 10 year plan. When I came here, not even 2 weeks, I got the question about Station 7. Yeah, I want to have the facts so we're making logical decisions based on data that I can prove that saying that this is the right service demand for this area, these are the right equipment that I'm running. And the thing is, it really comes down to this is an investment for our future. And you can see that the city's basically is growing at a rapid pace, and so does our services.
So you've obviously done the research here, and he has, Jess.
I'm oh, just, yeah.
Has this been done before? Is there a history of this type of review?
Well, I think in terms of the history, I'm sure there's a study that was done by the city several years ago that that looked at some of the things to a certain degree. What Chief Palafis is talking about is going much further than that. You know, there's a lot of great things to be said about Chief Palafis and his actions here at the city and what he brings to the community and to the department. And one of those is that he's reliant on facts, figures, and data, and making objective decisions. So what this does is to be able to take all the information that he has, churn it into a study, and then see what some of those outcomes can be because of that. We have Fire Station 5, right? That's on Lake Havasu Avenue, Chief?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's something we've been talking about. That's an old building, and it's in need of some type of a repair. Do we want to keep that location for that station? Do we build new there or renovate that existing station on Station 5? Or do we look at maybe moving that station to another location? What are the impacts on response times across the community if we start looking at moving stations around? And can we maybe put a map out there that says, ideally, we'd like our stations to maximize response times or to minimize response times. We want stations that cover this this area. Now, we can't just tear down and build stations and go that direction, but over the course of many, many years, we can start to make those decisions as those needs come up. But, you know, the chief has been very reliant on facts, figures, analysis, and making those decisions based on the data that's out there. And it's proven the benefits have been proven because of that. And this is an extension of what he wants to accomplish.
I think most people like myself, they see the word efficiency study and they think, oh, heads are going to roll, right? But that's not the point of this.
No, the point is a comprehensive analysis of the entire fire department. You know, we're still a young city. The fire department came from volunteer, part-time, full-time career. So it's needed. And I think it's going to be a valuable tool for myself and our council to make decisions based on facts. This is why we're doing it. And have someone, again, come from the outside looking like myself, looking from the outside and getting that perspective of industry standards, best practices, and just how we can run more efficient. But it also is going to show some things that we might need some improvement with. You know, how to recruit, our retirement. It is this a full analysis of all relevant aspects of the fire department to make good decisions.
It's very forward thinking. I'll give you that. No, that's for sure.
Well, and I appreciate that. But I appreciate Jess and I appreciate the council allowing us to do this because this is going to be our master plan. And the thing is, I'm going to have the information to present to them why we were making these decisions. I did the same thing with our capital improvement outlay for our apparatus. It's going to be evaluated each year just to make sure it's working. Mm-hmm. But first you got to have a plan, and then we can start executing the plan.
So yeah, I'm going to change topics here,
sure.
Okay? Because on yesterday's Speak Out 2.0 show, the undersheriff was on, Ed Trafficante. I'm not sure if you know him mm-hmm. or not, but he works alongside Doug Schuster, of course. And he was talking about recruitment, and you've talked about recruitment numerous times on this show and getting young firefighters and that, but the legalization of marijuana in Arizona has kind of created a problem with the drug testing and finding qualified applicants. Are you finding that to be true as well?
No, I don't right now as we speak, no. The thing is, we're starting our recruitment in the high school, and if I can be an influence and mentor to basically describe and be a positive influence mm-hmm. in the community, you know what, they don't have to go down that route. It's the same thing with the alcohol. I mean, it's legal. I don't want you
right.
to drink. Be responsible.
Right.
But what I'm trying to do is hit the younger group, especially the ones that are here in Havasu, already established, and I can give them a career with the fire department. I mean, what would be the best is to be able to be here, grow up here, and serve your community and raise your family here.
Oh, great answer. No problems with the city on that front?
You know, there's some, and we identify different classifications of employees as we hire them, and if they fit into like a public safety category, then there's the drug testing that takes place that mm-hmm. That can identify marijuana. It's just some of those standards that are in place that applies for not just for fire and police, but also positions within the city that are in close proximity with children. And, you know, so that's, it's kind of put a bit of a wrinkle in there. And what does that mean? So it impacts us to a very small degree right now.
All right. Let's go ahead and take a short break. By request, Chief Pete, I found it.
Thanks.
Little Ray Charles, and you said this comes from
National Lampoon's Christmas
Vacation. I've seen the movie, but I haven't. It's not like an annual tradition for me or anything.
It's like a marathon.
Right, right. No, I know a family that watches it on Christmas Eve every single year.
Sure.
You know? So, anyway, I'm more a Christmas Story guy.
I love it too.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm more of a Bad Santa guy.
Oh, me too. That's my favorite, actually. All right, we're going to take a short break. Give us a call. 854-KNTR, 928-854-5687. If you want to talk to Chief Pete Palafis from the Lake Havasu City Fire Department or City Manager Jess Knudsen. I don't know what that was all about.
I'll take it.
I've always called you Jess.
Yeah, of course.
All right, back with more in a moment. Stay with us. I'm Paul Lavoie. Having trouble talking on a Tuesday. Back in a moment. That's what I want to get. It's truly amazing, that spirit of Christmas. All right, a little AC/DC going out. If he's still listening to the show, to former Mayor Mark Nexon.
There you go, AC/DC.
Yeah, he always was. I'd say, what kind of music today, Mark? Mm-hmm. AC/DC. Mm-hmm. And I remember guests like that. You know, it's like a bartender remembering your favorite drink, so they remember you as Cuba Libre, or in my case, you know, Margarita Rocks, no salt.
Okay.
That'd be me, the three names that I'm called by. So, all right, Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage, also Patio Paradise, the Lewis team, Coldwell Banker with team leader Bobby Lewis, Julie Lewis, Brian Besley, and Lori Rule, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, Springberg Wealth Management, Better Business Bureau, and by Kevin Barbarita and Barbarita Realty Consultants with over 35 years in the Laughlin community. Located in the Laughlin Town Center, visit their website at laughlinnevada.net. And just as a programming side note, tomorrow is the Real Estate Power Hour with Mojave Mortgage and the Lewis team teaming up. That's Chad, of course, Chad Hansen from Mojave Mortgage and Bobby Lewis. So Chad's going to be by phone, though, remotely. So it still works.
Sure.
Works very well.
Works for radio.
And Bobby brings in, I don't know if you guys have listened to this show, the Real Estate Power Hour, but he brings in these stats and market studies that are just incredible.
Yeah, and the Havasu market right now is a lot of crazy things have been happening over the course of the last several months, and it looks like it's turned a little different here in the last couple months too.
I got a preview for you. Spoiler alert.
Okay.
Bobby just texted me today or yesterday, and inventory's again at an all-time low.
Really? At a
yes.
low? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's not letting up.
Yeah.
Even in December. Or November, which is where the numbers are coming from. So there you go.
This has got to be the historically would be the lowest lowest number in terms of the month in terms of sales would be December. You would think around the holidays.
You would think, yeah.
Yeah, that's just a guess, but we're at an all time low again. Huh?
That's what he normally says. Hey, let's give a shout out to Stu.
Yeah, Stuart Schmeling. Stuart Schmeling has been with the city for 20 plus years and has done some really fabulous things. He's served as the development services director for the last couple of years and really put that department in a really, really great spot. And he's announced his retirement. So his last day with the city, at least in the seat, will be this Friday on the 17th.
Oh, wow.
We're going to miss him. I mean, that Stuart's personality is fantastic. And then everything he brings to the table in terms of his skill set and his knowledge. You can mention something that happened back in the 90s, and he's going to remember exactly. That was 5 feet, 3 inches. And that's going to be really, really hard to replace.
Right.
I've named Jeff Tuneman, who is serves as our acting building official. He'll replace Stuart and fill in for some big shoes that Stuart's left him. He'll do a great job for the city, and looking forward to all the great successes that he'll bring to the table as well.
You just answered my next question.
Mm, okay, yeah, that's what I do.
Was he an internal?
Yeah, Jeff was Mr. Tuneman was an internal candidate for that position, and so then that'll open up the door for a billing official. We'll be advertising for that position here in the next couple of weeks.
What would that candidate have? What would be the ideal candidate for that job?
For a billing official?
Yes.
The billing official is in charge of everything on the billing side of things too. So if somebody brings in an application for a billing permit, then all that's a big part of what the billing official is going to oversee. And then including the inspections and the permitting for everything for everything construction within Lake Havasu City. So he'll oversee the individuals at the desk in the front lobby when you come in and ask questions about maybe building a casita or adding on to your RV garage or building a hospital or whatever it is too. That all those things fall into that category. So they do the plan reviews and building inspections and all that's tied to it.
Where would someone go for that job posting? And do you do anything with social media like LinkedIn, for example? I'm seeing a lot of job postings there for different things. Not that I'm looking, I just scan LinkedIn every once in a while.
Yeah, no, we're out there doing the best we can in terms of our positions, and we have a lot that are out there. We have, that was a couple of weeks ago. We had 50 vacant positions within Lake Havasu City. I think we're down to 42 was the last that I heard, but there's still a lot of jobs that are available here at the city. All those job postings, of course, the best source is to go to the city's website, and all of those are contained on one location. We utilize social media and for some of our recruitments. And a lot of it is just the professional trades and professional organizations. So if you're a planner, we there's a, you know, Arizona Planning Association, or on the building side, there's different associations and professional associations are tied to that across the country in each different states. So we reach out there the best that we can and do our best to bring people into Havasu. Our problem is available housing. You just mentioned about the low inventory.
Right.
So we'll identify a great candidate for a position. We'll make an offer and they'll accept. And they'll call us back 2 days later and say, I can't afford to live in Havasu. So that's been a challenge for us and a large reason why there are so many vacancies with the city right now.
But, and it could get worse with that low inventory being a signal of that, of course.
Sure.
We'll address that later in the show. There's something coming in front of the council tonight. So I wanted to talk about this grant program that for the fire department.
Sure. We're actually, the grant program is a federal grant through the Assistance to Firefighter Grant. It's a FEMA grant, and the fire department is solely for equipment needs for the fire department. Our fire department, we're going to take any opportunity to apply for a grant for needed equipment. This basically takes some of the burden off the taxpayer in our budgets by applying for some of these grants. And this one has a matching grant funding of 10%. And the one we're specifically going for is a exhaust system for each of the fire station. Mm-hmm. It's a 100% capture system that is hooked up to the tailpipe. So when the engine turns on, the exhaust fumes go through the tube and out through the roof. We currently have a system right now. A little inefficient. It actually is powered by a fan that just basically blows across the station. So just taking a proactive approach, thinking about firefighter safety, and reduce that exposure to exhaust fumes. So we are submitting in our grant this week, and we won't hear it probably for a good 3 months when they start awarding the grants. But just to have to say, the fire department and through my direction, and Scott Harmon is our grant writer, and we're trying to get other individuals that we kind of do it as a team. And we will take every opportunity for needed equipment and go after grants. I mean, that's what we need to do.
Is that for each station?
Well, it's actually for the United States. But the exhaust system is going to be for all six stations. Yes.
Wow. Interesting. So when you say like station 5 is there's some things that are outdated, that obviously would be one of them.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah. Wow, interesting. I never really knew that existed. You know, a capture system for exhaust, but it makes a lot of sense.
Yep.
Makes a heck of a lot of sense. All right, let's take a short break. A band I really like, especially from the movie Swingers with Vince Vaughn.
Oh, fun.
Big Bad Voodoo Daddy.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Back with more in a moment. This is Last Night I Went Out with Santa Claus by Big Bad Voodoo Daddy. And we're with City Manager Jess Knudsen and Fire Chief Pete Palafis from Lake Havasu City. I'm Paul Lavoie. We'll be back with more in a moment. Stay with us.
We decked the halls and swang all through the night. I said, hey, bartender, give me a drink. I said, no more, man, because I can't think. That night I went out with Santa Claus. Town, he always sticks around. We always hit the wildest place, 'cause you gotta be bad for goodness sake. Last night
is this where we play the track? I'm not worthy! I'm not worthy!
Right? Never heard the song before.
I've never heard the Alice Cooper
Alice
version.
Cooper, yeah.
It's pretty cool, though.
Yeah.
It almost sounds like a Toyota commercial.
It does. Yeah, yeah.
All right, Speak Out brought to you in part by Horizon Community Bank, Connected Computer and Technology, Mojave Community College, GDK, CPA, LLC, also SunPower by Esme Electric, SamsGuns.com, my favorite word, differentiated by an apostrophe, Herb's Herbs.
Herb's Herbs.
Man, he always said he is the best turmeric ever. Or turmeric, however you say it. I don't know. Anyway.
Well, I get smoothies.
I could play a soccer game right now if I had the lung capacity. Dane O'Brien was spot on. Now the preferred technology partner of the Arizona Restaurant Association. Give Dane What a Guy O'Brien a call. 928-706-2784. Or send an email to T.O'Brien with an E. at spoton.com. Don't forget about the Lake Havasu City app, available at Google Play and the Apple iStore. I just sent Alyssa a whole week's worth of episodes. So we are posted at the Lake Havasu City app. And I think it's hosted by SoundCloud. Our episodes anyway.
Okay.
The old Speak Out.
Yeah, it's a neat little app.
Have you seen it?
I've been on there, yeah.
Did you endorse it? Is it like endorsed by city manager Jess Knudsen?
No, I can't endorse anything at all.
Yeah. No? Yeah.
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Informally, not even?
I'll talk about the things I use, whatever else too.
Great, but, yeah. It's got some great features.
Yeah, no, I've been on there and used it, and yeah, I think it's great.
I think we should, as residents, send it to those people that we know are coming to town so that they know where to go, what to see. You know, the things to do in Havasu. Mm-hmm. And then if they want to get into the public affairs aspect of it, check out the Speak Out section too.
There you go. Perfect.
And they can hear you, your golden pipes.
Well, then, went downhill after that.
So. All right. You mentioned pickleball courts, and somebody has, given the city a very large donation to, expand the pickleball court, or the sport itself in Lake Havasu City.
Yeah, a very generous donor approached the city here recently and has offered to donate $250,000 to the city to build four pickleball courts at Dick Samp Memorial Park. That would complete the master plan that was identified several years ago. The initial construction was four courts, and then city invested with some donations that came from the pickleball club, and a couple years ago, and we built just finished completion on eight additional courts, and the master plan called for four more at the end of it, and again we had a generous donor that approached the city and said that he wanted to pay for the construction of those courts and donated $250,000 for that effort. So well, that item will be on the agenda tonight to thank him, even though he's anonymous. As well as to make sure that everyone's on the same page in terms of how those funds are to be spent for that purpose that he indicated.
Chief, have you played pickleball yet?
I have not played pickleball.
I have not either.
But I am on these new courts.
Right.
There you go.
I have friends that say you need to get out there and play. Well, it's obviously I need to get out there.
Well, maybe both of us should go out there.
Right.
Maybe one of us will return and maybe one of us won't.
Like a grudge match. Very good. Yeah. Wow, he's throwing down the gauntlet.
There you go.
On this show, too. Good job. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Hello, Paul. This is Wayne. How you doing?
Wayne, how are you, sir?
Good, good. Hey, I had a quick question for Jess. I was wondering if we could get an update on the schedule for the Main Street resurfacing?
Yeah, good one.
Great question.
Hey, Wayne, how are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good. Yeah, thank you. We initially have that scheduled for this month for December. And our city staff reached out and talked to our merchants in the downtown area and said, please don't do it in December with the season of Christmas and the shopping season that's out there. They didn't want to take any chances on impacting some of the business that they could receive during the Christmas season. So it looks like on or about January 10th. You'll probably see something physically happening in the downtown, and will be completed here in a couple of weeks, or prior to the end of January. So maybe that second week in January, you'll actually see something physically happening out there.
And Wayne, just to clarify, that's the Monday after you are the KNTR Talk Star on that Friday.
That's right. I'm looking forward to that.
Me too.
And is the total street will be closed, correct? Do the whole thing.
Yeah, so that's the direction that we're giving the contractor, is to do it as quickly as possible, and that'll cause some street closures. There will be some access here and there. That is, if there's an opportunity for us to maintain a little bit of access here and there off the side streets or one lane, we're going to do that the best we can. But I think it's probably if you plan as a business owner or as a visitor to the downtown area, bank on that area being closed for that time period.
Okay, and that's not going to affect, I mean, other than the heavy load on Mesquite and Swanson, they're not going to, the traffic flows are going to be the same. They're not going to make anything one way or anything like that. It's going to be the same?
Nope, it'll be the same. So the traffic on Mesquite and Swanson, as you indicated, will be much heavier because, it'll take all that McCulloch traffic. But yeah, we're going to allow those streets to continue to be used the way they are today.
Okay, great. All right, thank you.
Thanks, Wayne.
And hey, Merry Christmas to everybody.
Merry Christmas to you. Thank you. All right. Great phone call.
Mm-hmm.
Wayne Malone, of course, the owner of Neat Pool and Supply, mm-hmm. A longtime supporter of the Radio Central stations. So thanks for the call. We appreciate you turning this into talk radio, not just listen radio, right?
There you go.
Absolutely. So we were on pickleball. What's the cost to the city on something like this?
Well, so the city has this procurement process, and we get kind of sometimes beat up about it, how we go about purchasing things, but we have to do it legally and through the direction of state statutes. So we don't know the price of that is right now. We know we paid about $175,000 about 5 years ago for four courts. We have to go through a small little design, although it'll be real close to what we have out there right now. And so our estimate is the cost of the design and construction of four pickleball courts in today's environment, because construction costs are up and materials are all up, as we know, we'll be real close to that $250,000 mark.
Wow.
Yeah.
Big development there.
Yeah.
You know, and a nice gesture from the anonymous person.
Yeah, no, what a gesture. Tremendous. And people will say, like, four pickleball courts, $250,000. That's an enormous amount of money to spend on some concrete and a net and a fence. But we have that area up there, that's the old landfill. Because of that, that requires some post-tension concrete work that's out there. And that's the bulk of the cost of that project.
Do you have to do soil testing as well?
We've done soil testing in the past, but we'll make sure that what we put down is gonna survive. So yeah, we'll do some soil testing, but we have in the past as well too. But when we build something, we want to make sure that we've thought about it, and when we're spending taxpayer dollars, that it's gonna last.
So speaking of landfill, I know this is probably a horrible segue, but just north of Lowe's, mm-hmm. In that area of the current landfill, there's how many acres? 40? 39? We're talking about...
I don't have the number in front of me.
We're talking about affordable housing, a proposal.
Kind of lead
us through that.
That's where you're going with that.
Right. The change to the general plan, right?
Sure. So on tonight's agenda, on the council meeting, one of the items that the council will be hearing and for consideration will be an amendment to the a minor amendment to the general plan. And so we're talking about, and essentially there's a little bit more nuance to it, but essentially moving land that is in the general plan and existingly zoned industrial,
right,
to a residential, type of a residential zone. So there's more nuance than that, but that's just kind of big picture. So when you do a stark difference in zoning, going from industrial to residential, the first step is an amendment to the voter approved general plan. So the voter approved general plans is in that area, that area is to be used for industrial type uses. And then the request tonight will be to modify that. And then if the applicant wants to come back, if council approves this and the applicant wants to come back, then the next step would be for a zone change.
So this is something you can do without the approval of the voters, even since you're revising it?
So it's, when we put the plan in terms of the general plan and all the nuance that's tied to it, all these things that are in there. As far as what that looks like, so it's all part of the general plan and the ability for council, right, to make some minor decisions. This is a minor amendment, and there are also major amendments that can be determined by council. There's a state statute that applies to that. You can only do it once a year and all that stuff too. But there's a process in place for all that, and if obviously it's in a public meeting. As much transparency as we can place upon this item. So if members of the public want to come in and express some concerns or support, then the meeting is at 6 o'clock this evening.
So this would be just as much a question for Chief Pete as it would be for you, Jess. But mm-hmm. What about public safety and fire department and coverage? When you have 350 homes, 50 RV lots potentially, what are we talking about, Chief Pete, as far as coverage from the fire department? Do we have adequate coverage now?
Sure. Well, this is actually, I mean, one of the reasons why I'm doing the study is actually a comprehensive study for future growth within Lake Havasu city limits to see if it requires that density is going to require more public safety, that's police and fire protection.
Sure.
So this is actually a great segue into our master plan to figure out that where the future growth is. And that's what the comprehensive study is also going to look at, is the future growth.
Interesting. Jess?
That's 100% right. I mean, we have a lot of construction that's taking place. A lot of construction that's taking place throughout Havasu in terms of single-family homes. And within the individual lots throughout the community, they're being bought up, and we're building on them. We're seeing an increase year over year, even of building permits, and it's not slowing down. It's increasing as we compare it month by month from last year, and what was up stark, and we're still up from last year's marks. And then you look at some on the outskirts of the community, right? We're seeing some more homes being built in Havasu Riviera. We're seeing more homes built in foothills. Now we're talking about building the possibility of building homes on the north side. How does that impact public works? How does it impact our ability to provide recreation services or park services to the community? And then certainly when it comes to and most importantly, how does it impact police and fire services and our ability to provide service for those areas?
And so, how does it impact water consumption?
Water consumption, our ability to treat the wastewater.
Sure.
There's more strain and stress on our roads. You know, I'm one of those people that when I hear about projects like this too, that I think about water, wastewater, roads, police, fire, all the city services that are out there, and all the support services at the city that it takes to make sure that those services are available to the public. Yeah, they all have an impact.
What's the we have about 5 minutes left, and since I have you here, what's the progress on the nomadic space? The co-working space.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of detail on that. That is an effort that's being led by James Gray and Amy Spitzer over at the Partnership for Economic Development. And so they're doing great things over there, and it looks like it's progressing very, very quickly. They've applied for all the necessary applications, mm-hmm. and received all the necessary permits, and looks like it's taken off. Yeah, it's going. It's moving.
What about Springburg McAndrew Park?
I don't know what that is.
The one, the space there.
I don't call it that. So yeah.
I'm sorry.
That was my people attempt at a joke.
It's the space aquarium in Mullick.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, if you want to pick on Dan Doyle.
Is that city manager humor, by the way?
That is city manager humor.
Okay.
Isn't it great?
All right.
It's like dad jokes, but worse.
Kind of, yeah. You think?
our internal joke, I don't know if I should share this or not, but it can give Chief Doyle a hard time. His middle name is Patrick.
Nice.
So before we develop a name for that that area of the Quirio,
we call him Dan Patrick.
Patrick Place.
Oh,
that's city manager
Patrick
humor as well too.
Place. Nice.
We're doing some feedback and getting some input from the community, the Parks and Recreation Board, from the downtown merchants, from the public, and we're going to engage others that are stakeholders with that project. And getting some feedback for that area. We've seen some pretty positive response to what's being presented and some of the ideas that the architects came up with. In the end, the idea there is to provide to enhance that space for existing and future similar events, as well as providing a space out there for some daily activity that to be needed. And then an eye moving forward for going in. If we want to go in a different direction, we can do that in terms of some other development that could take place. But right now, it's about just enhancing that space for what it gets used at right now, and promote events and activity, and bring traffic and energy into the downtown, which is what the goal of that project is. Next steps is they've got some feedback from the community.
Mm-hmm.
I've asked them to crunch the numbers. And I think probably looking at a February time frame where they'll come back and say, okay, we had all these great ideas, and here's some of the costs that's tied to it, and then we can make some decisions based on the will of the council and the direction we want to go there.
So speaking of meet and greets, Chief Pete, mm-hmm. you had your time in the barrel, right, on the Coffee with the Mayor event?
Yeah.
Oh, there
yeah,
you go.
Yeah.
You and Chief Patrick?
Yes, Chief Patrick. Yeah, that was a great...
I can't wait to get him on that one.
That was a great time. thanks to Jess allowing us to, you know, he took a little break. And
uh-huh.
It was a great event with the mayor and Dan, just educating the public on what services we provide, police and fire. And I truly enjoyed it.
You had a great turnout.
We did. We did.
I was. I'm not surprised, being the community involvement from residents in Havasu.
No,
I was not surprised.
It was excellent, and you know what? It was a really honor for me because I watched the Coffee and the Mayor for at least a 2-year session before coming here, and then actually to be on there with the mayor was excellent. So
wow! So that was your viewer in Chicago that showed up on the web statistics.
You know, I think I mentioned before too, but just to show to talk about Chief Plafis and his ability for research and data collection.
Yeah,
he watched almost a year to 2 years worth of council meetings, coffees, planning and zoning commission meetings. That was the research he did before making the decision to move his family to Lake Havasu City.
All on your own time, yeah. Right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I have to say thank you to the city of Oak Park for a little bit of that time.
Very good. Full disclosure,
yeah,
we call
yeah,
that in
yeah,
radio.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, it's great to have you here, Chief.
Yeah. It's an honor to be here. And I just want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Happy New Year. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
I just want to tell you, Chief, yeah. you have a fan club at Kiwanis, by the way.
Thanks.
At the Kiwanis of Lake Havasu City. You were a speaker recently, and it was like a rock star was there. I thought Rick Springfield was in the house, right?
No, stop. Well, anytime you want me back.
All right, we'll let you know.
Yep.
Absolutely. All right, that's Chief Pete Plafis from the Lake Havasu City Fire Department. We have City Manager Jess Knutson. Great hour, as always.
Thank you, Paul.
Anything you want to throw in while we have a couple seconds?
We had a community dinner last week on Friday evening,
right.
And we had two seatings there too. And thanks to all the volunteers, Mr. Bass for the chef, the Wave crew, and everybody else, including Jerry Bracamonte, who led it from the city's perspective. It really kicks off that holiday season and brings that holiday cheer to my heart. And so I'm grateful for everybody that participated there and everybody that showed up for a free dinner.
All right.
Merry Christmas, Paul. Happy New Year to you.
You too.
Happy holidays.
Both of you, actually. Here's one you may have never heard. It's Run, Run, Rudolph by Lemmy, Dave Grohl, and Billy Gibbons.
Oh, geez.
Have you heard this?
No, I haven't.
Me neither, but it sounds good underneath me.
Anything with Lemmy in it is a good thing.
Yeah, right. You are twisted, for sure. Back with more in a moment. We'll have a final shot when I come back on Speak Out. I'm Paul Lavoie. All right, there's some firehouse going out to Terrence Concannon, of course, from Go Lake Havasu. All right, speaking of Terrence, he'll be on the show Friday along with Mike Bonney from GDK CPA LLC. Tomorrow is, of course, the Real Estate Power Hour with Chad Hansen and Bobby Lewis from Coldwell Banker Real Estate and Mojave Mortgage. And we've got Representative Leo Biasucci on Thursday. You can check our Facebook page at KNTRTalk.com or KNTR Talk Facebook page, sorry. And we'll have the listings there as well for the guests this week before our two-week break, which starts next week. All right. Until tomorrow, I'm Paul Lavoie, living the dream in Lake Havasu City.
The voice of the free, KNTR Talk 106.3, KJJJ Laughlin, HD2.